Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. Paul Kirch is here to look realistically at what happens when a passion becomes a business. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Ladies and gentlemen, on today's show, we have Paul Kirch. It's Thursday, and Paul is here to teach you a lesson. Paul is the podcast host of Boss Academy Radio, which stands for Business Ownership Success and Strategies. Paul's an expert in the field of business startups. He's the CEO and founder of Actis Sales Intelligence, which is a firm designed to help companies sell smarter. So, Paul, first, I'd just like to thank you for coming on the show today.
Well, it's a pleasure, Lynette.
And I really am excited to hear about this lesson that you had to teach my audience, because so many times we do have passions that turn into businesses, and we haven't touched on that on my show in this capacity yet. So I know you do have a great lesson for my listeners today. Now, did you bring a quote that you would like to share with everybody?
I do. And I'm going to preface it by saying that, you know, I started off my career in corporate America. I spent 21 years married to a paycheck and was somebody that really struggled with the idea of going out and starting a company, even though I knew it was what I wanted to do. And when I did, it was so liberating. So the quote I'm going to give is by Tony Gaskins Jr. And he said that if you don't build your own dream, someone else will hire you to help build theirs. And I use that quote to motivate myself in those times when it's tough and I get stressed out. The idea of going back to work for someone else, just don't have any interest in that. So somebody told me once that you become psychologically unemployable. And I think that quote just really epitomizes so much about becoming an entrepreneur and then the resolve and dedication it takes to follow through on that.
Right. I agree. I agree with that so much. But you know what's really wild, and I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, is as an entrepreneur, and it is a lot of hard work and dedication, but does it feel like it to you? Does it feel like you're working?
You know, there are days where, look, I mean, the truth be told, when I started my company, the first year was nothing but excitement because I'm building something from scratch and you know, I had total creativity and it was just about discovering things and building relationships. It was a lot of fun. But there are a lot of hats you wear as an entrepreneur. And there are days that it very much feels like work because you're taking on tasks that you never thought you'd have to. I never thought I'd become a QuickBooks expert. I never thought I'd be doing all of my own accounting. But I'll tell you what, the first time I got a letter from the IRS saying, oh, you missed a filing deadline, or the first time I got a letter saying, oh, you should have had your franchise tax filing in by such and such date, you start to realize that, maybe I need some support here. So hiring an accountant, hiring a bookkeeper takes that off your plate. Learning to get rid of those things that are the things you're either not good at or you don't want to do is critical. But in the beginning, sometimes you don't have the resources or the revenue to be able to do that. So that was kind of where I was. So I love it. It's very rewarding, but I'd be lying to you if I didn't say that it's a hard job.
Right. No, I get all the different roles, and I'm in a place in my career here with my business that I do need support. Actually, that's kind of what connected you and I. It's the fact that I do need support and I need some kind of assistant. And I reached out to you to discuss a specific person who contacted me. So you and I believe, are supposed to be in the same space right now, which is pretty funny. You're coming on the show today, and the skill that you're going to teach my listeners is how to keep the momentum. So when they have an idea, based around the passion that they love so much, and they're thinking they want to take it to the next level and start a business with their idea. How do they keep that momentum going? So can you talk to me just briefly about that skill first?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of things about being an entrepreneur that are absolutely amazing and liberating and fun. And it's unfortunate that not every aspect is that way. You know, you're running a business, and at some point in your business life cycle, you get to a point where the things that were fun and free become things that you can't focus on the way you want because you're trying to scale your business. So, you know, thinking about how do you scale your business? How do you get to the next level? That's something I didn't do when I first started my company. I built a business that was about me trading time for money. It wasn't by design, but that's what I knew. That was the easy thing to do. And so I was taking on client engagements that were trading time for money. And at some point, that becomes challenging because you can't scale the business the way you want. And you start to get to a point where you get a little burned out. You've got great ideas, but you're not taking action on them because you're busy doing other things. And then you start to see your company kind of not dying, but not growing the way that it should. And that's a really stressful point when you get to that part of your business. And it happens for a lot of people. So I want to talk a little bit about that aspect. We can definitely approach it from a few different angles, though.
Well, first of all, tell me, why is it important to focus on this?
Because if you don't do it, you're not building a business. You're building maybe a stream of income. You're maybe building a hobby that pays you, but you're not building a business. A business needs to be something that has scale. It has to be something that has some tangibility to it. You know, in other words, I'm not saying you have to start your business off with an exit strategy. What am I going to do when I get to 65 and I want to sell my business? I'm going to have an asset. I'm not saying that's the mindset, but I'll tell you what, there is something to be said for building a company that has some tangibility to it that's beyond just some money coming in the door. Because building a stream of income is easy. Building a business is where it becomes hard.
Can you define what you mean for us when you say scale?
Yeah, absolutely. So you've got 24 hours in a day. And you know, if you were to define it over a year's time, X number of hours that you can dedicate to your company, which nobody works 24 hours, you have to sleep. There are times where you are going to want to take time off. You're going to get pulled away. If you have a business that is you, for example, taking on one-on-one coaching engagements, that's great. It's a great business, but it can only scale so far because you don't have systems in place to duplicate that process. You're not building online programs, which allow you to scale and have a bunch of people coming in and taking training instead of just one-on-ones. So you can only take on so much work. And at some point, your business kind of maxes out in terms of potential. You can always charge more, you can raise your fees, but that doesn't necessarily get you to the point where you have a business that's truly scalable. And scale allows you to build the business up, invest back in other things, invest back in maybe systems, processes, buying other companies, adding on solutions that allow you to scale even further. And this is how you grow a company.
You know, this is so interesting to me too, because I'm actually in the process of dealing with a lot of what you're talking about. Because let's say even in the very beginning, which I only launched August 1st, but for each episode, I was doing a separate blog. So just finding the guests, coordinating the interviews, doing the interviews, editing the interviews, typing the show notes, and then doing a blog for each episode 5 days a week. I really enjoyed what I was doing, but I quickly realized I don't have time to act on any of these other awesome ideas that I have for the show that I would like to do. So I immediately, well, I wouldn't say immediately, over a couple months in, I said, you know, I need to make some changes here if I'm going to grow my show to anything other than just doing all of this myself. So it makes perfect sense. Now, can you teach us a lesson on kind of how to keep this momentum and focus going when we're struggling through these initial steps?
Yeah, I could teach you a lot of lessons on this. And, you know, it's funny because you asked me at the beginning when we were offline about areas of my expertise. I mean, obviously, I run a sales consulting agency, so I've got a lot of experience in that area. But I've been really passionate about helping the entrepreneur, and that's why Boss Academy came to fruition, because I built this company and Boss Academy Radio around the idea of giving back to the entrepreneur. Because I said at some point, you know, because I was a guy who spent 21 years in corporate America, married to that paycheck, more money I made, the less likely it was going to be I would start a company. So when I did it, it was a big deal to me. And I initially started it to give back and make a difference. What I found is it's become, and I don't say it lightly or disrespectfully, but it's become a very selfish indulgence, because what's come out of it is I continue to grow and I continue to recognize areas that I need to develop. And so a lot of people out there in the guru space, quote unquote, you know, they act like there's no vulnerability. They act like they have every answer solved. I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't have every answer solved. But fortunately, I've surrounded myself with brilliant people who are amazing resources, sounding boards. And I would encourage anybody on this call to build your own little network of support. If anybody's listening to this, get yourself. When I started my company, I built a personal board of directors. I didn't have really a lot of experience as an entrepreneur. Didn't have that kind of mentorship growing up. So I surrounded myself with, I think it initially had like 7 people on my personal board of directors. And they were people that I reached out to and asked if they would be willing to contribute. Now, most of them I knew well, but there was a couple of people that I didn't. And I approached them and said, look, here's what I'm doing. I'm starting a company and I need some help. And I'm not really in a position to build like a real board of directors. Would you be willing to be part of my personal board of directors and serve as a sounding board? And so this is the first part of this is I went out and built my own little support network. And I had 2 CEOs, I had a sales leader, I had a couple marketing professionals, and then I had somebody in the marketing research space. I wanted people from different backgrounds and different levels of experience, all senior, but different types of experience that could support me. And it was great. So I leveraged that for about the first year of my business. And then from there, I got really deeply involved in masterminds and started to branch out and bring on coaches and things like that to help support me.
So are you saying that you reached out to people when you say senior, like did you reach out to people who were retired and that you just could pull from that? When you say you created this board of directors, I mean, for people who, you know, are not familiar with business at all, are these just people that you knew that had expertise in this field that you could draw from?
I wanted different backgrounds. And so no, none of them were retired. Although I'm going to talk about that because there is a great resource that is available to everyone listening. None of them were retired. But, you know, the interesting thing is most people are afraid to reach out and talk to somebody about helping them. What you find, though, is people want to see you succeed. And so about 3 of the people of the 7 were people I had really close relationships with. And it was kind of a no-brainer. They were more than happy to help. They didn't expect any kind of compensation. I just had to be very respectful of their time. 2 of the other people I didn't really know well, but I knew them from some industry events that I'd been to. And I reached out and explained what I was doing, and they were super excited about being a part of it. And then the other 2 people I had no relationship with. I had gotten a referral from a couple of people that gave me these names, and I reached out, told them what I was doing, and I didn't think they would be interested, but they were very supportive. You'll find that people want to see you succeed. Now, you mentioned retirement. There's a great organization that's part of the Small Business Association called SCORE, Service Corps of Retired Execs. Anyone out there listening can go get free counseling from some of these amazing executives that are retired that are willing to volunteer their time to help see entrepreneurs succeed. And they have experts in various areas. I mean, you could find former CEOs, former marketing executives, you name it. If you're looking for technology support, so you just reach out to score.org and get yourself some free counseling. And it's unlimited. You can go as many times as you want. They're going to give you great guidance. I used SCORE a lot in the beginning. And I still every now and then will go to a SCORE event and talk to one of their their founders or one of their consultants, because they're more than willing to help.
Okay, that's amazing. I think that is an incredible resource. And I think anybody who's got all of that experience, and I would think their lives were probably so filled with challenges and excitement in their career that they probably just kick right back into that mode when they get a good question that really sparks their interest like that.
Well, and some of the people that are part of SCORE are, I mean, they come from very large organizations and they've been deeply entrenched in some of the largest, you know, Fortune 500 companies. There's people that have been part of smaller organizations. We're not talking about people that are limited in their knowledge or capabilities. They're people that have business experience that most of us would kill for.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, it, depending on what you're looking for, they can help you get lined up with the right type of person. And if you don't like the person you meet, you can get a meeting with someone else. It's really it's one of my favorite organizations out there to support small businesses because it's free.
Right, right. Okay, so to keep people engaged and to keep that focus and momentum going, what kind of other advice would you give everybody?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so you're going to find in business that you start to take on things that you didn't expect to. You mentioned having all these great ideas that you want to follow up on, but you're busy doing this 5-day a week show. Okay, so this happens to everyone. And as an entrepreneur, my creative juices are going all the time and I come up with ideas. What happens with ideas is if we don't take immediate action and don't start to take some action forward, that same idea that was possibly a multi-million dollar idea, a billion-dollar idea, a life-changing idea, if we don't take some action immediately, what happens is that dies on the vine. And it's really, there's a lot of things about brain research we could talk about, but it's just part of this protective mechanism we have. And what happens is we talk ourselves out of great ideas by, and you've had this happen too, I guarantee it, Lynette.
Oh, yes. I'm nodding my head.
Yeah, you have an amazing idea and you walk away from it and you say, you know what, that's a great idea. I'm going to work on that. I'm going to work on that next week. Well, next week rolls around and you actually do pull it back out of the drawer and you grab that notebook and you're like, you know what? It's a great idea, but gosh, you know, I don't think people are going to be as interested as I thought. Wow, this is going to cost me a lot of money. I don't have the time to dedicate to this. All of a sudden, that amazing idea that you were passionate about in the moment dies.
So true.
So if you're excited about something and you really believe it's a great idea, you have to take some immediate, tangible action right away. Tony Robbins always talks about this. He goes, take immediate action. But the reason being is if you don't, that little mechanism in your mind starts to kick in that's protecting you, saying, you know what, this is uncomfortable. This is something that's going to be painful. And you start to let that idea die and fade away. So take immediate action. That's one piece. And I created this little video out on YouTube and it's just a fun little short video. I call it your triple dose of vitamin C. I'd seen this meme and it had three words on it. It said choices, chances, changes. And it defines so much about entrepreneurship. And the meme stated that you have the choice to take a chance to create change every day. And I think that really defines what being an entrepreneur, the potential of an entrepreneur is that every day you do have a choice to take chances, owning a business, making changes in your business, you know, taking massive direction shifts. That's a lot of risk. So you're taking a chance. But if you don't take that chance, then you're never going to create change. And the change that you can create is not just change in your life. It's change in the lives around you. And it's potentially change with trickle-down effect of you could potentially one choice could create change that could impact the lives of millions of people based off of, you know, paying it forward and trickle-down effect and all these things. And if you don't take that chance, it's never going to happen. So as an entrepreneur, when you get these great ideas, well, if they're really great ideas, make a choice to take a chance and create some change.
I like it. if I have listeners right now and they're listening and they're saying, okay, I have this idea and I should really act on this, has there been a book, a resource that you could recommend listeners embody in order to kind of get more pumped up and take that action?
There are a lot of books out there that I love and could recommend, but one that really stands out, and I'll tell you why, is a book called Getting There, A Book of Mentors by Jillian Zoe Siegel. And Jillian had gone out and interviewed, I don't remember how many people are in that book, but people by the names of Warren Buffett, Anderson Cooper, John Paul DeJoria, amazing, amazing leaders and people that are billionaires and extremely successful. And without exception, every one of these people had faced some moment of either self-doubt or major roadblocks. I mean, John Paul DeJoria was living in his car, and now he's the founder of Paul Mitchell. And I think it's, is it Hornitas Tequila? I can't remember one of the big tequila, maybe it's Patron that he owns. And he is a billionaire many times over, and he is successful beyond belief. But he's a guy that was had nothing. You know, he was living in his car. Warren Buffett was a person that was deathly afraid of public speaking. And he tried to take a public speaking course in college and got just nauseous over it and threw up and dropped out of the course, walked away from it. And he eventually went through a Dale Carnegie public speaking course in his office in Omaha, Nebraska. He's got framed on his wall this certificate, $100 course that he went through that changed his life. He doesn't have any of his other diplomas on there, advanced degrees. He's one of the best orators out there, and he's somebody that almost never reached his full potential because he was deathly afraid of public speaking, and now it's something he absolutely thrives on. This is something that's so critical. As an entrepreneur, you need to know that you have the power to make changes in your life and changes in your direction that you don't realize are possible. There is, I mentioned brain research a minute ago. There's a great video. I actually had done another video called How Can a Lemon Change Your Business and Your Life? And this woman by the name of Marissa Peel had done a TED Talk. And she was talking about brain research, and she was talking about the ways that we have control over our brain that we don't think is possible. If you can take the things that are pleasurable that maybe are time wasters, like procrastination, you might argue that you don't get pleasure out of procrastination, but people get pleasure out of it because it allows them to, you know, basically make excuses for why they're not doing other things. They're giving themselves a break. Even though they get stressed out about not getting things done, procrastination can be a very pleasurable thing. If you can find a way of taking procrastination and making it painful, all of a sudden taking action can be your MO instead of being a procrastinator. And you have the ability to control this because your brain seeks pleasure and avoids pain. And if you find something that you are wasting time with, well, find a way of making that something that's painful to you. And the words you use to talk to you of yourself and about yourself make a huge difference because your brain doesn't know any better. And I'm going to give an example here. So I want you to close your eyes and stick your hand out in front of you. And anybody listening, please do this. Just humor me. Pretend you have a lemon in your hand. And I want you to pull that lemon up to your nose. I want you to smell it. And I want you to feel the texture. Now I want you to take a big bite of that lemon. Now keep your eyes closed. What is that sensation? Is your mouth watering? Lynette, is your mouth watering? You salivating a little bit?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Anybody that's doing this, if you really take this seriously, you're going to experience the same thing. Here's what's interesting about it. The lemon doesn't exist, but you made it real. Your mind doesn't know the difference, okay? So if you have something that you're trying to change in your life, you can change it. It just takes action. It takes you using the right words and not telling yourself you're a loser or I can't believe I can't do this. This is really frustrating. If you start to change the language, your mind doesn't know what's real and what's not real. But what's not real can become real because you made it so. And that's what Warren Buffett did when he broke through and took that public speaking course through Dale Carnegie and passed it. And now he's one of the best speakers out there. He speaks for hours and hours on end to 40,000 people at his summit. And it all came from that moment of choice.
And, you know, I would like to add another book here, too, because a lot of the concepts you're talking about, people can read about in Anthony Robbins' book, Awaken the Giant Within. He talks a lot about what you're saying about pain versus pleasure and the mind.
Well, absolutely. And Tony Robbins always references the exercise where if you're standing with your feet planted and you take your arm, point it straight in front of you, and you move the arm around you and point as far back as you can reach. As far back as you can reach. And then once you're bring your hand back to the front, now visualize yourself going all the way around, like moving further and further and further, way past that point you could reach, and coming all the way back around like an owl. And Marissa Peel actually mentioned that same exercise, but she says you don't even have to visualize it. You just have to tell yourself, tell your brain, okay, now go a third further. Anybody doing this, if you stand up and do this exercise, you're going to be blown away, because you'll turn back as far as you can reach and your back's strained. You can't go any further. You come back and you visualize yourself, or even tell yourself to go further, and you point that arm back around. You'll be shocked at how much further you can point.
I'm going to have to try that one. That's a new one for me.
The brain do amazing things. We are our own worst enemy. And just you have to remember that the brain is trying to protect you from things that are unfamiliar. It's the old fight or flight mindset that we needed back in the caveman days. It still exists today in different forms.
Right. I mean, I talk about brain mapping and vision boarding and envisioning. I mean, my whole thing is envision, explore, execute. That's the point of my show, because that's how I act. And that's exactly what I'm going to ask you to do right here. If we're talking about people who need to keep that focus and keep their momentum going, once they get this idea and they want to make massive action, how can they envision this for themselves?
Well, you're sitting here interviewing a sales guy, and a lot of people are probably going, why is a sales coach turned entrepreneur sitting here talking about motivation and talking about things that help you get beyond where you are? It's because it's everything. So I started a morning ritual that when I'm dedicated to it, and I preface that because, look, I'm human. I make mistakes and I have moments where I kind of fall out of patterns. But if I wake up and practice gratitude, and I just sit there and even sometimes out say it out loud, sometimes I say it in my head, I think of everything I'm grateful for. And I remember there was a point I was so stressed out, and I just felt life was throwing me a lot of lemons at the time. And I thought, well, I tried to do a gratitude exercise, and I couldn't even think of anything I was grateful for. And it was just a momentary lapse of reason. But once I started to break through that and started to list out things, you know, and then I talked about my kids, and I'm like, and the little things like, okay, well, having a roof over my head and having food on the table, I started coming up with this amazing list of things I was grateful for. If you're grateful, good luck being in a bad mood. Good luck being angry. And you start to recognize that, you know, you have a lot in your life. And there's a million people out there that would trade places in a heartbeat, no matter how stressed or how tough you think your life is. And then the next thing that I have been toying with, and I say toying with because I'm not an expert at it, but I've been trying to meditate, and I do it for 10, 15 minutes a day, just trying to clear my head. And those two exercises alone put me in such a great state of mind. Then when I get to the office, hopefully the night before I did some sort of kind of planning as far as like what I want to accomplish the next day, but I do a little whiteboard session. And on the whiteboard, I draw some lines, and one column is why, the next column is what, the next column is when, and the next column is how. And I focus on defining the word why is first for a reason. Why am I trying to accomplish the things I'm accomplishing? You know, what is it that I really want to do, but why? Why do I want to do it? So I put down the what in the second column, but the first column is the most important thing. Why? Why do I want to build these programs that are going to make the difference in the lives of entrepreneurs? you know, what fulfillment do I get out of that? Because there has to be some selfish motivation behind everything we do, or we're not going to stick to it. But at the end of the day, it's about giving back. And then the when is, when am I going to accomplish this? You know, where is it going to take place? Is this online? Is it taking place, you know, in person? And the, you know, the how is the steps that go into actually what's going to go into this. I don't want to come up with a huge to-do list, but to-do lists, you know, they're just a part of life. But the problem with to-do lists is we get consumed by to-do lists, and to-do lists make us feel a little bit of fulfillment, because at the end of the day, we can say, oh, we checked off all these things off our to-do list. How great. Oh, we didn't get everything done. Well, we moved some of those to the next day. But then you're not feeling like you got anything accomplished, because to-do lists are not necessarily, there's no vision behind it. There's no real motivation. So it all has to come back to why. Why are you doing it? So that's one of the things that I really do to help myself get to the next level.
So I think what you're saying also as an envisioned step is envision your mornings getting you off into a really great focused direction where you're feeling positive, your head is clear, you have clarity, and then you cut your day into steps. So envision having a morning routine that's going to set your day up to be productive and achievable.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then to explore, what do you suggest?
Well, I'd say exploration comes in a lot of ways. I'm a big fan of Audible, and I do a lot of business books on Audible. I used to read more than I do. I don't necessarily feel like I've got the time to read. So when I am able to, I'm listening to an audiobook, or I'm listening to some sort of, you mentioned Tony Robbins, Awaken the Giant Within. I mean, he's got a lot of great programs and books that have been very monumental in my life. And so I'd say exploration comes down to finding some resource that allows you to grow in what you're maybe struggling in. I worked at the Gallup organization for 10 years, and Gallup's a great company. It has a lot of great assets about it. One of the things that Don Clifton, who was the gentleman who had purchased the Gallup organization from the Gallup family, he'd written a book called Soar With Your Strengths. And the people at Gallup were hired upon this and developed upon the idea that don't waste your time trying to become great or good at things you're bad at. Invest more time in becoming amazing at the things you're good at.
Mm-hmm.
As an entrepreneur, we don't always have that luxury, at least not until we build up our business to the point where we can bring in support and, you know, build partnerships that can help us in areas that we may not necessarily be really great at. But I spend very little time in trying to become great at things I just don't want to do or I'm not good at. I find ways to get other people to help me in those areas. And I invest in myself and become hopefully amazing in areas that I'm already skilled at. Invest in that.
Okay. So then to execute, and I know when you think execute, you think massive action, right?
Well, no.
Okay.
I think that's a great concept. It's not reality. I love Tony Robbins, and I love the fact that he says take massive action. I always tell people take imperfect action.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is people get so fixated on waiting until things are perfect. It's never going to be perfect. You know what? I'd rather you put out something that's imperfect and go back and modify it and make it better. But the people that win are the people that get things done and get things out there. It comes down to hopefully being massive action, but you've got to start somewhere. I'd rather see you just take baby steps and take imperfect action. There's a great video on YouTube of this woman that she's running a race and she falls down and she's, oh gosh, she's probably 50 yards from the finish line and she picks herself up and she falls again. And her ankle and knees, you can just see she's scarred and her ankle's given out. And she picks herself up and she falls again. And she keeps falling. And people come out on the track to help her. And she kind of waves them away. And she picks herself up. And she finally gets across the finish line. And she's bruised and hurt and sore. And at this point, people have got their arms around her. And she's in tears. But not because she's in pain, but she's in tears because she did it. You can fall down forward a million times and reach the finish line. If you stop, you're never going to reach the finish line.
That's pretty powerful, Mr. Kirch.
Thank you.
So what kind of closing advice would you give listeners today?
You know what? When times are tough, and they're going to be tough at times because that's just part of running a business. You asked if it ever feels like work. I'd be lying. I mean, there was a time I didn't think that, but that's because my business wasn't at a point of maturity. So when things are tough, get out of your head and go back to the drawing board and make a plan. Planning is the key to everything. Now, I mentioned a morning routine of you know, using a whiteboard, but get a pen and paper and start to figure out where you want to go. You can't go to a destination if you don't know what the destination is. Otherwise, you're driving and going all over the place, wasting time, wasting resources. Know the outcome that you want first, and then build a plan to help you get there. And at that point, it gets you out of your own head and gets you away from this mindset of frustration and self-doubt, and you start to really get reinvigorated.
And just like with anything, whether it's diet or a business, if you're not planning, you're planning to fail.
That's right. Absolutely.
So contact information now. We know your podcast is Boss Academy Radio. And you know what? Do me a favor. Since we're talking about business here and that's what you're all about over there, can you just list a couple of the topics that you've covered on your show for listeners here?
Well, I've had amazing guests. And you can find Boss Academy Radio at bossacademy.com or out on iTunes at bossacademy.com/iTunes. I've had John Sculley, the former CEO of Apple Computers, on. I've had John Warlow, the author of Built to Sell. I've had David Newman of Do It Marketing. I've had over 100 guests that were amazing. My show was a live radio show before I chose to move it to a podcast. I saw so much potential in podcasting, so I moved away from AM radio, but my experience doing live radio was phenomenal, and I've had exposure to just great guests. In terms of my own topics that I've focused upon, I mean, I've done, you know, shows on sales, I've done shows on motivation, various topics. But at the end of the day, Boss Academy is not all about Paul Kirch, and it never should be and never was intended to be. It's about providing real resources to the entrepreneur. So I've got an expert network we're building where we've got other people that are contributing content that are just amazing resources. So come check us out. And, you know, you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/Boss Academy Radio. And out on Twitter, you can, I've got two Twitter accounts. I've got Your Boss Academy. And then the other one is Paul Kirch, which is P-A-U-L-K-I-R-C-H.
Paul, I just really, really want to thank you for coming on the show today. You've provided so much value and great information for my listeners, information that we haven't heard yet on the business sales front. So on the entrepreneurial, not just get up and go, but once you've gotten up and go, how do you keep going? And, you know, you're a lot of realism going on here today, which is important for people to know and to anticipate. It's really, when you say your business is not at a place of maturity yet sometimes to feel these things, I know I'm not there yet, but you've given me a lot to think about to kind of protect myself for when I do get there.
Yeah, and if I can give one more book, there's a book out there called Ready, Fire, Aim. And the thing I love about this book is it talks about companies based off of their size and maturity, what issues they face. And it's really comical how realistic and accurate it is in terms of once a company gets to X number of millions of dollars, all of a sudden culturally certain things are different. This is why, you know, people always talk about large publicly traded companies and the culture and the environment being toxic. Well, there's a reason, because hierarchies have to be in place and things have to be in place. So as an entrepreneur, like I said, my first year was all about creativity and fun and excitement. Second year was just, I was in love with it. I remember saying to myself, I hope I never have to retire. I hope I can do this the rest of my life. The third year, all of a sudden, I was stressed out beyond belief and trying to juggle a million things. And, you know, at one point, I remember saying, God, I hope I can retire at some point. And you know, and you get through these different stages and it's, oh my God, it's a great roller coaster ride and it's amazing. And I'm not trying to paint a negative picture. It's one of the funnest, most exciting things I've ever done and most rewarding. It's, you know, Peace Corps stole the line, the toughest job you'll ever love. I really think the entrepreneur should own that one.
What stage would you say you're in now?
I'm at a stage of massive change. And I've been in this stage for a while. And I say massive change because my focus has always been upon my sales consulting agency. And I'm moving more of my energy towards Boss Academy Radio because I'll be honest with you. You know, Lena, you got to find the audience you want to serve. I love people that are coaches, consultants, and solopreneurs and people that are out there trying to discover their path and that are feeling the pain and the pleasure that I've felt. And I know I can help them. So that's, I would say that my business has shifted just, I won't say 360 degrees, but it's definitely about 300 degrees going in a massively different direction. But using the experience I've gained through those years of building up Actus to really make a huge difference in the lives of people out there building their own business.
Paul, thank you so much for coming on the show again today. Really, it's been such a pleasure.
Well, Lynette, thank you. And I love what you're doing. It's such a great project. So I'm honored to be a part of it.
Thank you so much. Now, this is the end of the show, and we offer a go do. What do you think, Paul, that my listeners should go do today?
Go get yourself a whiteboard and start planning to do your morning strategy session.
Excellent. Listeners, that's the end of the show. Remember, you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.